Welcome to the UDIA Queensland's Development Drum podcast, where we speak to members and ask them to share some property industry insights and at the same time get to know our industry colleagues a little better. My guest today is David Lanner, General Manager of Stockland Development in Queensland. David is responsible for numerous residential developments across the state. He's been working at Stockland since 2007. Prior to working with Stockland, David had his own business and worked in a national consultancy group. The early part of his career was spent with Lendlease. David was also a UDIA Queensland board member for over 10 years. David graduated with an honours degree in civil engineering from QUT in 1997, having moved to Queensland from a childhood in Gladstone and central Queensland. David loves the Lions, the Cowboys, enjoys golf and a bit of running, though cricket is the main game in the Lanner household. David is husband to Laura and father to Sam, Joey and Alice. Thanks for joining us on the Development Drum today, David. Now, David, before we get started, I have to explore this Cowboys issue. So I can get the Lions bit, tick.
Yep.
Cowboys, is that related to Gladstone, yeah, central Queensland?
Yeah, it's a good question. You know, why the Cowboys?
Why the Cowboys, exactly.
Why is a person who's got a family in Brisbane support the Cowboys?
Yes.
Definitely does go back to my roots.
So does it?
Born and raised in Gladstone in central Queensland, certainly at that time, anywhere, you know, north of Gympie was considered regional. Gladstone was definitely regional.
Got it.
Anyone from Brisbane was considered a city pretty.
Uh-huh.
And definitely we felt like the Broncos were a privileged group.
Right.
That started a long love affair with the Cowboys from very early days.
Okay.
And it stayed with me the whole time. I love the Cowboys.
So, David, there's obviously no turning your support.
But, no turning.
But what about
my
your
support.
Children?
Look, you know, I never give up hope. I'm hopeful that I can bring them across. But look, it feels like they've pledged allegiance to, like I say, the Dolphins and the Broncos. And look, that's not the worst thing. Other Queensland teams, not the worst thing.
Not the worst thing. And it hasn't extended as far south as the Titans, so there's still hope
for us.
No,
it hasn't yet. And interestingly not, no.
Exactly. Just wait until they get a little bit further up the ladder and that might be tested.
Potentially, yep.
Yeah. Now, David, you spent most of your career working for large multinational property companies after starting your career as a site cadet. Why were you drawn to property development?
That's a great question. Look, I think it's a combination of things. If I even start with the degree I chose when I left school,
yes.
I chose civil engineering. That was certainly for me a bit about improving, taking something, changing the shape of that, improving it and turning it into something else. So I think that notion of being involved in construction, progress, change was something that really took me very early. One of the first projects I did have, I was a site cadet and a site engineer. I was working on a couple of residential apartments at Kangaroo Point. And
wow.
You know, the numbers aren't particularly accurate, but let's say the owner paid a couple of $1 million for the land. We had a guaranteed maximum price contract to deliver the apartments for about $19 million. I figured there was $1 million in kind of planning and consulting fees, a couple of million in holding costs,
yes.
30 apartments at an average price of $1.1 million. It felt like in that food chain, the developer had enjoyed a better proportion of the spoils than the contractor at that stage.
Yes.
And I think probably goes back to a lot of Australians. If you think about your childhood, the notion of kind of property development in wealth creation,
yes.
but also in providing stability for a family unit and
yeah.
kind of progressing through life was something that was certainly not drummed into me by mum and dad, but it was certainly something that was strong in our household. So maybe those three things have kind of led me down the career path I'm in.
I often wonder that being put in the car every Sunday morning yeah. and being driven around sort of display villages that my parents would never end up actually building their own house.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's why I am where I am today.
It's the great Australian pastime of the 80s and 90s. Oh, yeah. Hop in the car. We're going to go look at
Sunday
a few
drive.
Houses. definitely, definitely.
Yeah. I used to hold out and hope that the ice cream truck was there. That
yes.
was the allure for me.
Mr. Whippy.
Yep. Now, in terms of your role, which aspects do you find most challenging?
Yeah, another good question. I think it changes is the truth. It
yes.
changes on the market cycle. It changes kind of on your outlook, maybe the portfolio of projects and issues that you're looking at. But certainly through the tougher part of the cycles when sales and marketing are
yes.
more of an issue where you're
yes.
trying to generate awareness, interest, you're trying to convert that lower interest into more and more sales, that certainly becomes a tougher job. How do you elicit or spark interest in a market that
yeah.
for whatever reason is turned off, whether
yeah.
it's higher interest rates, lower affordability, whether it's lower population growth, whatever it might be. The other end of the cycle, often the challenge is how do we get things approved, designed, approved, and constructed to meet the needs of the market. But I think Outside of a project, what are some of the things that I find most challenging? You know, I think it is leading a big, fast-paced business, how you balance personal relationships,
yes,
leading with empathy, being authentic in your own self in leading a team. How do you balance kind of all those things with a busy personal life, kind yes of corporate needs, and like I say, the needs of your team and your projects. So sometimes it's just, I think the combination of those things become the challenge as opposed to one thing specifically.
The juggling act.
Yeah.
Thinking about the projects that you've been involved in, this is your time to choose a favourite child.
Yes.
Which projects are you most proud of?
That is really hard, and that is like choosing a favourite child.
But you're keen to do that.
Yeah, that's true. No, I think I've been really fortunate. I was involved at the tail end of Pacific Pines in many ways. Pacific Pines was kind of Queensland's first major master plan community, so you know, I enjoyed that. Definitely enjoyed being involved in North Lakes. That's been a highlight amongst things for me.
Yeah.
Aura, if you look at present day, being involved in creating a city the size of Bundaberg, you know, it's just incredibly inspiring. Yes. But also, you know, what are the things that I really love? It's great to acquire a project, to originate, identify a project, to acquire it, then take it through that process of planning and approvals and design to a launch phase, to a trading phase, and then to a completion. So, you know, certainly something like Newport, it was one that I've been fortunate enough to kind of see pre-development now right through to the tail end, and that's pretty exciting as well. But hard to pick a favourite. They're all pretty cool for different ways. It's awesome to go back through these communities and see how they work as a kind of living ecosystem now, to see are people kind of living in these communities in the way in which we envisaged or is it slightly different? And you know, what are the things that we did well? What are the things that at the time seemed like they made sense but now maybe don't quite so much? So I do love that reflection thing, and certainly my kids would say whenever we're kind of going past some of these communities, oh, here we go again, Dad's going to take a detour and tell us about all the exciting things that have happened through this community.
Yeah,
hard to pick a favourite. They're all pretty cool for different reasons.
And is that what drives you, David? Is it the end result and seeing people living, breathing, growing their lives, their families in a project that you've played a part in? Is that what drives you?
That's immensely satisfying. And we talked about it before, that physical nature of creating something I think is incredibly satisfying for me as opposed to a process or I do have a real drive around the outcome, creating a better outcome and reflecting on that. So that's absolutely part of it. I think the wonderful thing with my job and the wonderful thing in the development industry is the risk and opportunities, the challenges and rewards are really varied. That's one of the things that I really love. As we talked about, sometimes the challenges are very different depending on the project and the cycle. Sometimes the opportunities are as well. And I won't say no 2 days are the same, because often there are a couple of days that are similar, but I will say it does feel like it's really dynamic, and I think that's really uplifting.
Yeah. What values do you prioritise when you're hiring?
That's a great question. And
I have reflected
on that. I do often ask a couple of things that I prioritise, and depends on the role that you're recruiting for, but I do think you can underestimate the role of the character and the personal attributes of someone, and you can overestimate the technical capabilities. So I probably think of the character attributes, the moral compass, the ethics, the authenticity, the way in which they go about doing their work, the how-to, their willingness to learn and grow, to be coached, to be part of a team.
Yeah.
Now, that's probably 2/3 to 3/4 of what I look for in someone who's going to work successfully with me and within the business that I run.
Yeah.
There's certainly still a need for technical competence and an ability to learn. So that 2/3, that's definitely about the technical component. I mean, I think it does, like I say, shift a little bit depending on the role. But I guess why do I say that? I think I've got a view that we and I do have an ability to coach and provide technical skills in the right environment with the right kind of conviction around that. It is much harder to coach those personal attributes of wanting to succeed, wanting to be part of a team, humility, but a strive for success and all of those type of things. So that, for me, is why the character skill set is more important than the technical skill set on most occasions.
Yeah. How do you ascertain or analyse that, David, in a 60-minute interview or a...
I think it's more than 60-minute interview. I know different people will have different views, but I do play a bit of a role in the references, and I do like to try and get a sense from others who have worked with this individual for a long period of time as to what their attributes are and their aspirations and the like. Yeah. You know, even some of the questions that you might ask someone around, you know, what are some of their hobbies, their answers actually do provide some clues to their mindset as well. So if there's someone who likes long-distance running or swimming.
Yes, okay.
Or even things like horse riding, they might be someone who likes to spend time with themselves
yes.
for longer periods of time. If they have a list of things that is team orientated,
yes.
it's a football team, a cricket team, a netball team,
yeah.
It probably tells you that they like that camaraderie and that
yeah.
team spirit and being amongst a team. And often you get people that have got a bit of both in different proportions.
Yes.
And does that kind of match the role that you're recruiting for as
yeah,
well?
Interesting.
So they're probably some of the cues that I like to think of. I think I rarely keep an interview to an hour. I like to try and make it a conversation and just give the person time to get into the conversation
yes.
as well, to ask me some questions, to have a conveyance of information both ways, because as much as it's an interview of me, of them, it's of them, of me and the business that I'm recruiting for
yeah.
as well.
And David, how do you get that mix right across the business? Because often where you can get the most dynamic and where the magic comes from is where you have those mix of personality types of people that like sort of being a bit of a lone ranger versus the team players.
Yeah.
How do you get that mix right across the business?
Yeah, I'm not sure I've got the exact answer. I think it's something we look at fairly regularly. We look at kind of strengths and opportunities in person's skill set, and is that aligned to where we've placed them, where their development plan is, where they want to go and where we see them going. So that's something we sort of honestly ask ourselves along the way, and we ask the individual on the way. And I think you are, like I say, testing that regularly.
Yeah.
To some degree, and I'm in a corporation at the moment, a big corporation, to some degree you do need some elements of consistency. You need
okay.
some elements where there is good alignment on things like values and,
yeah.
and, like I said, your moral compass and your ethics. I think if you're fighting some of those fundamental things, if
yeah.
there's not good synchronization there, it makes it really, really difficult.
Yeah.
It is good and well to say it's great to have different personalities, and that's true to an extent, but when they are so different where they don't share some core values, it becomes disruptive
yes.
and it becomes really difficult to manage kind of towards this is our goal.
Yes.
This is how we think we're going to get there and this is how we think we'll succeed.
Yeah.
If you're fundamentally at the starting point saying,
yeah.
look, I'm on a different wavelength to the
yeah.
rest of these people.
So a team full of netball players is what I'm hearing, David.
I know you love your netball.
That's right.
And I certainly,
dollar tax particularly. Yeah.
I can vouch for the fact we've got some wonderful netball players working.
There you go. Excellent. What do they do on a Monday night, David, just out of interest?
Recruiting. I love
yeah.
it. Yes.
Now, you've dedicated many hours, particularly over the last decade, particularly to UDIA Queensland, and you've also actively encourage Stockland staff to do the same, including assisting other industry bodies. Why do you think that's important and what does it deliver to Stockland as well?
Yeah, very important. Often I'm asked by people kind of what's your advice as to learning and development? How do I kind of continue to improve myself? And I sort of think of it in three buckets. There's the formal learning, and it's actually a smaller part,
yes.
but I'll start there. The formal learning, people kind of say, what courses can I do? What
yes.
extra postgraduate qualifications, and you will never hear me say that that's not a valuable thing because I do think all education is valuable, but that's one path and it's probably a more traditional path. It can certainly augment and help you build skills, capability and confidence as well,
yes.
not just capability over time. So that's one path. I think the on-the-job learning is the biggest component. So that's a two-way street too. How do you as a manager make sure you're stretching and providing new learning opportunities to your team member, and how do they also stay alive to the opportunities that exist in the workplace as they are, you know, kind of getting through their days?
Yeah.
I think that's incredibly important. And the other one is around this mentoring and industry participation, which again, I think is probably underplayed in a lot of conversations. So, you know, I think if you haven't got a mentor and you really are wanting to progress, it's something I'd encourage you to think about who might be a good mentor for you. It's very difficult for your manager to be manager, mentor,
yes.
kind of all things in one. There certainly are individuals that are able to do that pretty well, but someone outside of your day-to-day, outside of your
yeah.
business, outside of your bubble is probably going to be able to provide you with some really impartial advice at the right points in your career. And then extending that a little further, for me, industry participation, it is certainly something that's valuable in terms of giving back. If you believe in the urban development industry, if you believe in what we're doing, if you're passionate about it, I really would implore you to look at opportunities to get involved. Don't leave it to somebody else. Make a better future. Influence the outcome by your own actions.
Yeah.
Get involved. It's not a spectator sport, but equally, it's something that I think you'll get enormous satisfaction from being involved in. I did 10 years ago, joined the UDIA board and with some trepidation kind of rolled in on night one and
yeah.
wondered how this would work. But it was fantastic for me in a big corporation to hear the challenges of those who are in the industry but have a different perspective, whether it be small or medium developers
yeah.
or consultants or someone from government. And I just think it gave me a really rich sense of the opportunities and challenges across the industry. I really enjoyed the diversity of thought that came from around that table.
Yeah.
And what does that bring for Stockland? It has brought a more varied, a more balanced, some better perspective in me as a leader and me as a manager in my business. And something I'm really grateful for. It's something I'd recommend to everyone. It absolutely requires you to put in a bit more time to stretch yourself, but I think you get a really good return on investment.
Yeah.
So if you're out there and thinking about, should I get involved in a committee? Should I get involved in a policy issue? Should I provide some feedback? The answer is an emphatic yes. The more views, the more participation we can have in the industry,
absolutely.
Particularly from those who are starting their career.
Yeah.
It will help expedite your career. You will have a fingerprint on the future of the industry and your career, and it's just so worthwhile.
Yeah, absolutely. And we very much rely on that feedback and generosity in terms of sharing thoughts, problems, issues. It is what helps drive the organisation and particularly advocacy.
Yeah, completely agree. I think UDIA does a terrific job in getting across all of Queensland as well. So you do get this regional perspective that I know I've valued, and I've been fortunate to have some regional assets and teams through that journey. It gives you that perspective. It gives you that perspective around size and scale and complexity and different asset classes. And it's a wonderful tapestry of the things we do.
Yeah. Now, David, you talked before about the juggling act of work, life, family. How do you juggle that?
This is one I've heard a lot of people talk about. I suppose I'm going to be honest, because sometimes I think people can say, you know, I kind of do this. I go to the gym and I work out for 3 hours and I sweat it all out and I'm recalibrated and I'm sort of all good again. You know, for me, I think the truth is that sometimes I do that well. Sometimes I don't do that so well. Sometimes I fail. So it's a bit about having your own trigger mechanisms or people around you, trusted people around you that can help call you out when they see you trending down that path, or you're alert to it when you see yourself going down that path, because absolutely there are times that I do that well, and I think I do that better than I used to, but there's times that I fail.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure there's a global answer other than you should be looking for the answer. You should be looking for the cues. You should be conscious that you will contribute better at work if you're able to balance things, if you're able to recharge, if you're able to keep your body healthy, if you're able to keep your mind healthy, if you're able to connect with family and friends on a regular and purposeful basis. So that's the thing I'd sort of say to people is find what the triggers and cues are for you. Set up a few mechanisms that might help you catch you out along the way if you are kind of straying down one path or the other, and stick at it. It's not a kind of I've got this sorted, done, tick. It's a continual battle.
Mm. What's at the moment, David, your go-to activity to recalibrate?
Yeah, a few things. I do like exercise. Physical exercise is good for me. So I run a couple of times a week. I still like to play cricket when I can. I love cricket. It's the greatest of all sports. Car karaoke. I love barking out a few tunes.
What, Taylor Swift or?
A Swifty. She's sometimes there, but usually it's got more guitars, drums and screaming. But
got it.
But I think whatever it might be, I think you've just got to find a few things that help you along. For me, it's tended to be that sport related.
Yes.
I talked a bit about kind of running, cricket, golf. I love watching football. I love that kind of live sport.
Yeah,
there's something I think that's really pure and purposeful about someone runs onto a field, they're not checking people's bank accounts and balances and their personal wealth. It's just kind of who wants it more, who's worked harder, what's the talent pool look like? And I love that part of sport. So they're the sort of things that help me. I think the other thing, levity. Like I love sharing a joke. We've got a really good vibe in the office where there's definitely a bit of banter.
Good.
You know,
it's
guys
important.
Don't mind to bring me down occasionally. And I think that's really important how you don't take yourself too seriously. You are able to share some fun times, some laughter, as well as share what sometimes can feel relentless, like you're always up against things. That'd be my other thing. Like, don't take yourself too seriously. Enjoy a joke.
Yeah, absolutely, David. In your opinion, as an industry, what do we need to do better?
There's a few things I think we could do better as an industry. I think if I start with the main one for me, I think it is telling our story. And I do commend the UDIA on how we are starting to engage on that. Because if you kind of go back a couple of hundred years, the role of property developers, we were called town founders. And we were held in very high esteem. And we know over the years that that's probably not the same disposition now.
Yeah.
So I think telling our story, I think, is a good one. Why is it important, the things that we do? How can progress, how is it necessary, and how does it benefit those in the community? I think that's probably one. I think The other one is starting to work with multiple stakeholders to work out how we do things in a different way. I'm not saying lowering the thresholds or the rigor around some of the tests that we've got in place, but I probably am saying let's test it once thoroughly and properly, not multiple times over the journey on the same path. So working together for a common goal of delivering, you know, not just better housing, but better outcomes in our urban environments sooner and more economically, I think, is a really important challenge of the generation that we're in now.
Yeah.
I've got three kids, 17, 16 and 13. My 17-year-old, he's at that point where he's thinking about what does home ownership look like for me? And it's a really challenging conversation for me to have with him, in that for him it probably feels like it's almost out of reach at the moment, starting his working journey. And I think that's, you know, that's really sad in a country with as many assets as we have now. The ability to make housing more attainable to our youth is one of the greatest challenges that we face. So, yeah, working together, telling our story. I think there will be a greater story about the mix and the way in which we develop. That will continue to evolve, but they're probably the first couple of things I think
of. Absolutely. Now, David, thinking about 2024, what's your focus aside from sort of changing your allegiance from the Cowboys to the Broncos? What else? What else, David?
Yeah, look, I think from a work perspective, obviously we're working on you know, the integration of a couple of big businesses at the moment, and that's going to take some time. And I'm incredibly grateful for the opportunity to be leading Stockland Queensland at the moment, when we are looking to integrate two really sizable, proud businesses with a wonderful kind of history of developing vibrant, connected communities. So, and that's more than just the assets. It is about the people and the teams, and creating an environment that gets the best out of all the people involved. So that's a big part of the personal journey. I think adjusting to a way of advocating and inputting to key policy issues in our industry when I'm not on the board. Yeah. You know, that's something I'm going to need to think about as well. So
that's okay, David. My mobile number hasn't changed. So
on a personal level, I think it's continuing to make sure that I'm stretching and growing as well. And I talk about that with people in their careers. You can look at someone's resume and have they got 10 years experience or kind of 1 year 10 times over. So for me, making sure I'm stretching myself, continuing to learn, continuing to engage with different groups and different stakeholders to sort of continue along the career journey. Yeah, my kids are a different age, two at high school, one kind of out of high school. So the role of a father is a little different now. Yeah. And I'm sort of adjusting to that as well.
Yes.
I think when kids are smaller, the issues are more frequent, but they're more easily solved.
They're smaller, aren't they?
Yeah. Yep. As they get older, the issues are less frequent, but they're kind of bigger issues. So that, and giving back to, like I say, my family and friends, making sure I'm still doing that in good proportions this year. Try to keep myself in a little bit of good shape, you know, all of those things. Enjoy life, stay a little bit more focused on the journey and not just the destination. Over the years, that's certainly been something I think, you know, a lot of people can do, is get really focused on the end and not enjoy the journey along the way. So I'm sort of constantly trying to remind myself that there's a great view along the way, and there's lots of mini milestones to celebrate along the way.
Yeah. And once you've navigated that parenting journey, David, you could write a book and just pass that through to the next generation.
Maybe
thank
I
you,
could.
Please.
Maybe I could. Maybe the things not to do or to do.
That's equally as important.
It is.
Well, David, thank you for joining us today. But more importantly, thank you for all that you have and continue to do to assist UDIA Queensland, particularly on the advocacy perspective. But you're always at the end of the phone, and
absolutely,
the industry has benefited from that over the last decade. And, you know, if I've got anything to do with it, I'm sure as you do too, that we look forward to that continuing.
Absolutely. Thanks
David. Thank you for listening to the UDIA Queensland's Development Drum podcast. It's been an absolute pleasure having you with us. Remember to rate and review this show on your favourite podcast app. While you're there, please make sure you click subscribe so you don't miss an episode.